This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Back on the fan on this Tuesday morning. A couple of Yankees notes here, BT. We'll get to the Knicks this hour. Also, Game 7 of the Pull Your Card World Series. I don't feel the energy for a Game 7. I feel like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Are you feeling it or no?
No.
Is it because of the week?
I don't know.
Yeah. Meaning, like, usually it would take place on a Thursday, so we have to build up.
Yeah.
And you get the Johnnies, obviously, Thursday. So.
I think we just jammed a lot of games into a small stretch.
Yeah.
So it's felt different.
Yeah, there were two games last week. I think it was Wednesday and Friday, if I'm not mistaken. And then this week. I mean, we could push it back to tomorrow, but you want to go Game 7 today?
We'll get it out of the way today.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I mean. Get it out of the way.
Yeah, I know.
You know
what you mean.
I know you got a lot going on this week, busy week. All right, so anyway, we'll have that coming up later on, 11:40, Game 7 of the second annual Pull Your Card World Series. We'll get to the Knicks this hour as well. A couple of Yankees notes here before we get back to the calls. We've been talking Yankees, in case you missed it, check out on the free Odyssey app, 888-808-1019. Just the Yankees' expectations going into the year. And, you know, have they changed where we view the Yankees or the team to beat in the American League? Clark Schmidt said the plan is still for him to start April 3rd versus the Diamondbacks. I guess Boone said yesterday that his next appearance will be Wednesday or Thursday, meaning tomorrow or Thursday, obviously.
Okay.
And if all goes well, they're aiming for an April 3rd debut. So that's not bad.
Let's just look at the calendar here. All right, so April 3rd. So he's got an inning and two thirds, hasn't thrown a lot of pitches. He's got a chance. One, two. I mean, he'd be on a very short pitch count, but I guess it's not nuts. You know, maybe 60 pitches, something like that. Yeah.
And then, if something goes wrong in the next few days, now disaster has ensued here.
That's different.
But even with that, to your point, like, it's so weird how the seasons have changed. Like, even, great, Clay Holmes, the opening day starter. And it's like, God, that's who's going to be the... Even if he's earned it in the spring, that's your opening day starter on a team that went to the NLCS last year, that spent $765 million on Juan Soto. You're starting Clay Holmes on opening day? Like, where's Doc Gooden? Where's the... Where are the opening day starters around the sport? But it doesn't really matter because these guys are going five innings anyway.
Yeah.
The first few weeks, maybe even... You know what I'm saying?
Like, I do. I think about Cortez last year.
Yeah.
Cortez started for the Yankees.
I know. And there was some... Because it was supposed to be Rodon, but then they pushed him back because they didn't want to give him... what happened with Stroman?
Stroman got the home start. Stroman did not want to go and alter his schedule to pitch opening day in Houston.
So
Cortez stepped in, and then the way it slotted out, Stroman downstream got the start at Yankee Stadium.
Stroman wanted to start the opener at Yankee Stadium.
Pretty much.
So he finagled a way to do that.
Yep.
Rodon, they didn't want to put him in that spot, so it led to Cortez starting opening day.
Garrett Cole was out.
Exactly. So the same thing now. All right, and one more thing on this. The odds. Zoo gave us the odds before we talked about it. You know, as far as the Yankees being the team to beat, so in their own division, they are +160. They are the favorites to win the division. Not a shock. Baltimore is second behind them, and the Red Sox are third behind them. But more so, BT, the American League. Yankees are was it 390, Zoo? I think he said +390. Yeah, my handwriting is bad. Yankees are +390 to win the American League. The second best team or the next best odds, Baltimore at +650, and I think that there's a then there's a three-way tie, Red Sox, Rangers, Astros at +800.
Okay.
That is, yeah. That's telling. So really you're looking, at least the odds are saying, and it's kind of our point before, like nobody in the Central you don't trust.
No.
Maybe in the West, but it really comes down to the AL East. Are Baltimore and Boston, is Baltimore going to take a step forward again after a step back last year, and is Boston for real now?
I think Baltimore's got to take a step forward. I think they've got too many young, you know, just borderline stars that I think they're going to be around for a while. Now they lost Burns. I don't know about their pitching.
Yeah, so I was going to say, don't you think their pitching stunk last year? And they had Burns. Like, yep. I don't know if their pitching is good.
It might not be. No, Sal. It definitely might not be. I don't, like, listen, when you hear Yanks are +390 to win the American League, that sounds high. I wonder what it was a year ago. Like, was it higher than that?
Or a month ago. I mean, maybe.
Before Garrett Cole and before some of the stuff would heal. Yeah. I mean, there's... I don't want to say I don't pay attention to odds, because obviously I do. But, and I know that you can go through the other teams with a fine-tooth comb and pick out things that are worrisome to their fan bases. We fixate on our own issues. I get it, because that's, we're talking about our teams. But to me, there's fewer givens on this Yankee team than last year. And until I see the ones that are, you know, yet to be converted either way, positive or negatively, I just don't feel great about them just showing up and winning this division. I just don't.
Yeah, and I get it with you with the odds aren't the be-all, end-all. For me, it's more of like, where are the other teams at? Like, we know what the Yankees are, sure, and we have an idea of what the Red Sox and Baltimore could be, but as far as the other teams, you know, the Central, the West, we're not watching all the time, curious to see where they are, and they're kind of where we expected underneath the Yankees, but you're right. It's not, well, it shouldn't be about the other teams. But it is. Because I don't think the American League is that good, I still think even with all the deficiencies or flaws or injuries, I still feel like this is the Yankees' league to lose. Sid is calling from Riverdale. What's up, Sid?
Hey, BT and Sal. How are you?
How are you, Sid?
Oh, great, Sal. I really enjoy watching you every night on SNY. You really are number one.
We appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, so here's the thing that I want to bring up. So do you think... Both your perspective. If Soto would have stayed with the Yankees, then we can assume the Yankees wouldn't have got Bellinger, Williams.
Certainly not Goldschmidt.
You know, do you think there'll be more questions with the Yankees this year compared to last year?
I'm not basing my trepidation, I'll go with, on anointing the Yankees division champs at the loss of Soto, as much as I am the injuries to the staff. I like the Yankee pivot. Now, until it proves to be successful or not, you know, my read then and my read now was, I think they did pretty well to address defense and diversify the lineup and do some things. But it's the pitching that worries me.
Well,
starting pitching.
And think about it. It would have been even worse if you had Soto, because while we could sit here and say definitively they would have one less question mark in a major way, like, you know, Judge and Soto were going to carry the offense the way that they did a year ago, but you wouldn't have Max Fried if you had Soto back.
Yeah.
And imagine now having the Yankees without Cole and without Fried and with Heel getting hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I hear you.
They would be screwed. So I actually think they're better off without Soto under the current circumstance. What's the last thing?
Yeah, I did read yesterday that Stanton, there's something wrong with his back. Now, I saw that on Google, so I'm not, you know, absolutely sure.
Gotcha.
And one other thing that I got to bring up, the baseball thing that you guys do.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Do you remember the 1989 Fleer?
Billy Ripken card? Yes, of course.
Can you add that to your World Series thing? Because that's a very hard thing to... Because it's five different versions of it.
All right.
But he's on the same team.
And thank you for the call.
He's not on five different teams.
In each version of it, he's on the Orioles. Yeah. You do know about that card.
Well, of course. He's got the F word written on the knob.
Right. When the card was printed, there was a curse word on it. Actually, I'm trying to get Billy Ripken to sign some of my cards. I have some mutual friends at him. Because I've been into that mode.
Yeah.
Getting some of the special cards from childhood signed. And that's obviously one. In 1989, for me as a 10-year-old, I remember my father taking me to the card store, spending $30 at the time on that card.
For that card.
That was like the premier card. Now, since it's more frequent, one now, but there are different versions where it's blacked out.
Oh, really? What is it worth? Like at its apex, mint condition.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
Blacked out.
I think probably a couple thousand. If you had the probably the most valuable version would be the not blacked out version where you see the curse words on it.
Yeah,
and if it were a gem mint, I would think a couple thousand.
Billy Ripken.
Yeah, but anyway, we appreciate it. So we can't work it into the. It just doesn't fit what we're doing. But yes, it's a nice card to talk about that. What was his other point? Because he had something in there that I forget now. A second point.
Yanks.
Yeah, anyway, forget. So, Stan, I did not see.
Oh, that's right.
Thank you, Zoo. Good call.
I think he meant Goldschmidt with the back, and I think he got it crossed up a little bit.
Okay, there you go. That makes sense, because I didn't see anything with Stanton's back, although, I mean, would you be surprised? It's been a calf. It's the two elbows.
I would, because he hasn't done anything. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, the elbows seem to be very problematic. He's staring at surgery.
Although
I don't know how he doesn't have surgery.
I don't think the Yankees think it's as bad as we think. I know you don't want to hear that. I'm just telling you. I think that the Yankees are like, then he'll be all right eventually. Like, give him some rest.
Get him back in August and get him ready for October. Well, what did I tell you about a month or so ago? I said, this feels like 2019. I think he's going to play less than 20 games this year. I don't think he's played at all. I'm not banking on him at all.
Which is a problem.
Yeah, I know. I'm not.
Which is a problem, because imagine the lineup just looks different with him in there, obviously. Charles is calling from Allen Hurst. What's up, Charles?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Dude, before I get to the Yankees stuff, I'm so excited for the tournament on Thursday, man. I'm not a big college sports guy, but like in New York, we never get good level college sports, especially from St. John's. It's been a while, so I'm really excited for that. I've been getting into it. I can't wait.
There you go.
Second of all, I do think the AL is obviously a little weak right now, but I do think the teams they're going to be the most of the aggressive teams at the deadline. So I do think that the rest of the league is going to get better. I don't know how much depth the Yankees actually have in their farm system to compete with the other teams. I think the Red Sox are going to make moves. The Orioles are probably going to try and get a pitcher at the deadline. I don't know. And those teams have deeper farms than the Yankees. I think they've kind of put themselves in a hole with the farm system. And one more thing, Joey Gallo's a pitcher. I heard C-Mac last night saying that he was throwing 97 or something. If there's anyone that could turn him into a good pitcher, get David Stearns on the line, baby. Let's go.
Oh, God, no. And thank you for the call, Charles. Oh, God.
Here we go.
I know the Mets have done good things with their lab and this and that. Come on now.
You don't think Hector can get him going?
Come on, dude. Don't even. Joey Gallo.
I bet you he throws gas. I bet you he throws absolute cheese. I believe it.
I know, but we've seen guys throw hard. I want pitchers.
No, I know. And that is a very unconventional transition.
Although
there'd be no
risk involved, right? Hey, you know what? He's a power arm.
We'll put you in Syracuse for a little bit, or Double A.
Has he ever pitched before? And get Gallo up here. Like, you know, mop up a garbage time game.
That's a good question.
Having Gallo eat some innings here.
You know what? I actually have a database where I might be able to. Let me see if I can pull something up real quick here.
Let's see. Appearances.
I remember looking at his. You've heard me reference perfect game before.
Yeah.
The amateur. Okay. So
I don't think I'm seeing it here.
And I've looked at all the guys. I've looked at Bellinger, Lindor, Alonso before he went to Florida, obviously Volpe. It's just great when they were playing at the highest level. It was very, very high-level baseball. All right, so Gallo. Was he Joey back then or Joe? Because it will show if he pitched.
Gallo Joey. With a G.
Well, I know that.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it was Joe or Joey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Joey.
I don't think he has at the major league level.
Yep, I got it. Okay, so Joey Gallo here, 2012, Henderson, Nevada. I know he was buddies with those guys out there with Chris Bryant and obviously Bryce. He was the sixth overall player, first third baseman. Let me see pitching here. Nevada overall number one, blah, blah, blah. So, 6'5", 205, committed to LSU, perfect grade number 10. Dude, he got clocked at 95 miles per hour in 2011. At the age of how old is he now? He is 31. I mean, he was a pup. He was 16, 17 years old,
dude. Let me ask you something.
Jeez.
If he were that, if he had that type of arm, don't you think somebody would be like, hey, you know what? Maybe we could use this guy. He's more valuable as a pitcher.
Maybe. Now, look at this. So, high tools, very high ceiling, scout split on third base, outfield, or right-handed pitcher. Talks about his well-proportioned athletic build, very good present strength, smooth and polished defensive action, strong hand, great arm. Exit velo plus 100, blah, blah, blah. Most of it's about hitting, but they do talk about how he was a pitcher as well. 95 miles per hour at the age of 16.
You
know, 17,
I know.
Me.
I know we were like, I was teasing before because I know where Yankee fans are at with Gallo, obviously, because he played here. And I just don't like him. The player drove me nuts.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, I never liked him before. He drove me nuts watching him with the Yankees as well. So maybe that's why I'm biased and wouldn't want him anywhere near the Mets or Yankees. But...
of course I give him a minor league deal. Come on in. We'll put you in double A or high A, get you going. Sure.
Yeah. And there's an entertaining aspect to it to see a guy who was known for so long as a position player home run hitter. I mean, it's not the worst thing. I mean, I guess, would you ever have him pinch hit, too? Like, if he's an arm out of the bullpen.
Not if you want contact, you wouldn't. He was in the 99.67 percentile. His class, this is correct, his class average at that point was 81 miles an hour. He was throwing 95.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty impressive. Hey, you talk about versatility. I mean, he can play some outfield for you. Yeah. And maybe if you need a big home run, you roll the dice with him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, he could be a poor man's, a very, very, very poor man, Shohei Ohtani.
You know, like a piss poor destitute Ohtani. You know what he should do? Like, he should go pitch for the Cyclones or Staten Island or the, you know, the Long Island Ducks. Yeah. Like, honestly, if you really want to be a pitcher... and if you're the Ducks, you don't give them, you know, give a little contract, get a few 500 extra people at the stadium?
100% the independent teams would do that.
Totally.
Yeah. But he might be able to hang on with a major league. I mean, if you're throwing 97, right, don't you think, like, oh, they'll pick somebody off the street if they're throwing 97.
Yeah, it's probably straight as a string, but, you know, those are things that you can, you know, vary the grip a little bit. I'm sure even if it was, like, not a plus pitch when he had to throw a changeup or a slider or something, a secondary, but... you throw 97, you're 6'5", 230. I'm gonna come and watch you throw a bullpen session.
Yeah, all right.
I don't care what planet you came from.
Well, we'll find out if Gallo can stick or get an opportunity at the big league level. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Pull your card, World Series Game 7. Coming up in about 20 minutes. Your calls are next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gonna find you and make you want me.
Now that BT and Sal back on the Fan on this Tuesday morning. You know, I was just reading some social media here. BT, St. John's has a send-off today. Were you aware of this? I guess there's a send-off going on campus. Should we have a send-off for you on Wednesday? Hoffa and I could wear St. John's stuff, and we could have a little, you know, maybe get some red balloons. Although I don't know if that's in the budget.
Red and white balloons.
A little send-off.
I like it. I like it.
But, yeah, I just saw that now. I guess they got the championship merch available at the campus and all that stuff. So, I mean, look, dude, this is a big week. When was the last time you did a tournament game?
The last one was, let's see, it was with Mullen in Dayton, Ohio. St. John played Bobby Hurley's Arizona State team. Lost.
Right.
And it was first four, in and out, boom.
Right.
And then the one prior to that was, I guess that would have been 2015, the only two I've ever done. That was in Charlotte with Steve Lavin, and they lost to San Diego State, one and done. Yeah. Never won a game.
And now, you know, you'd be there Thursday.
I've never seen the win.
Maybe that changes now, 2-15, 2-15 matchup.
Yeah, no, I'm packing a couple of suits. I'm not packing one. I'm bringing the suitcase rather than the overnight stuff. I plan on being in Providence for a few days.
And then, that's right. I didn't even think about that because I'm just thinking like show purposes and the one game singularly. So then it would be Saturday. Well, you don't have no idea what time.
So if you win Thursday, if you play Thursday, you win, you play Saturday. If you play Friday, you win, you play Sunday. And then if you win those two, now you come home, decompress, and then you go to a different location, which for St. John's would be San Francisco.
So you have a nice little vacation potentially where you get up there, you're leaving tomorrow. tomorrow, right? Wednesday after the show, potentially?
Yeah, I'll probably be working more than I ordinarily would. I mean, what vacation?
Well, I'm just saying, I meant
You mean away from, the wife and kids?
No, I didn't
you
can say, it. Yeah, exactly.
No, I'll get a different night's sleep in a hotel. Listen, the problem, though, here's the problem, right? And it's not a problem, but it's because there's no flight, I'm going to drive up myself, which I've done every other
time. Roughly what, 3 hour drive?
Yeah, I mean, if there's no traffic. Last time, remember when I called?
Yes,
it was 6 hours because of the snow, but usually 3.5. It was brutal. Oh, God, it was awful.
I was doing a little Google Maps. I've done that drive before, but I forget it's been years.
You were doing with the Columbia football
stuff? To go to Brown, yeah.
Yeah, up to Brown. So it's not, it should be about 3.5 hours. I'll do the show tomorrow from here with you, so I'll be in studio. I'll go home, pick up the suitcase, get the suits, say goodbye to the kids, Jen, get in the car, drive it to Providence.
Arborvitae, say goodbye to them.
Say goodbye to the arborvitae. I checked on them the other day. You got to check on a long winter. You never know. They get a little brown. Make sure they're not neglected.
It's the season now.
My daddy's back.
Hey, girls.
Daddy's back. I'm going to caress you, girls. Don't worry. You're good. Make sure you're all right. And then I'll drive up there tomorrow night. I'll probably get up there not too bad, 7 or 8, whatever it might be. Do a little dinner.
All right.
Do a little dinner, maybe meet some boosters, some St. John's people. But I'm going to do the show on Thursday from up there.
Right.
I'm going to use one of our sister stations to do that. And then I'll do the game. Now, it says 9:45. It's probably going to be 10:10 or so.
Because the prior start times are all going to get pushed back a little bit.
Work, boom, 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 little trickle-down effect. And then probably get back to the hotel room, 1:30 after the post game press conference, whatever.
What time are you doing Evan and Tiki? Will you be live on?
Oh, I'm doing Evan and Tiki on Thursday too. Hurley just told me about that, which will be fun.
You got to go to the stadium or the arena to make that happen.
I can do that from the hotel room. And then Friday, if they win, now if they lose, I'll just do the show up in Providence and come back. But fully expecting them to win, I'll be there. If they play Saturday night, I won't come back till Sunday. I'm not going to drive in the middle of the night.
Yeah. So all kidding aside, that is a long ways away.
Wish it was Florida. Playing golf or something, sitting by the pool. Up in Providence. It's cold.
Now I know why you didn't want Providence. Right. Newark you'll take for the next round.
For the next one.
Right, but guarantee a little trip. You go Florida.
I'll tell you, the coolest thing though, Sal, and I did see this twice. Now, again, it was one and done. What I love is, and I think there'll be even more people this time. I stay at the team hotel, obviously, with the university, right? So when you get on the team bus, me and Mink will get on the bus first, get out of the players' way, whatever, and then they'll have the band and all the fans because each team gets assigned a hotel. And then you get a police escort to the arena.
That's cool.
And it's just a real good collegiate, energetic send-off. It's a lot of fun.
Looking forward to it. Ryan is in Brooklyn. Want to talk about the Johnnies. What's up, Ryan?
What's up, bud?
Hey, what's going on? Quick question for BT.
Yeah.
I grew up a Philadelphia sports fan, and I've been in Brooklyn for 15 years. Oh. I was wondering, is it okay if I kind of hop on the St. John's bandwagon? I grew up not liking any New York sports teams, anti-Mets. I'm still mad about 2009 Yankees.
Okay.
But, I went to a D3 college.
Okay.
I've never been a huge college sports fan. Nova here and there, whatever.
Sure. Little Temple,
what do you think? Temple, you got any problems if I hop on the bandwagon? Am I crossing a line?
I wouldn't do that myself. Come on in. I mean, sure, enjoy the party a little bit. As long as you said he's in Brooklyn, right? 15 years he's been there. I think that's what he said. As long as you understand that Brooklyn's different. You're not really in Brooklyn anymore. You're in a place that it's still called Brooklyn, but it's not really
Brooklyn
anymore.
He's a Philly fan, though, he said.
I understand that.
All right, so you have no problem allowing a Phillies fan or a Philly fan.
Yeah, again, I wouldn't do it.
Right.
I wouldn't do it,
But you can see the appeal. You mentioned it yesterday, this St. John's team has appeal in outside of just New York. Obviously, why here we would get into it. There are obvious reasons. It's our city's team. But nationally, with the way that they play, they had the superstar head coach, who everybody's very familiar with, play hard-nosed style, grind it out defense. A lot of people could get behind that. They haven't been here or this relevant in so many years, so people get behind that underdog story.
I think a lot of old-timers obviously have great reverence for Lou Carnesecca.
Yeah.
So even though he has been, he's no longer with us the last couple of months, obviously, just short of his 100th birthday. I think some of the old-timers who just saw, St. John still has a team. I say that facetiously, obviously. They know they have a team this year. But for a long time, they're like, what happened to St. John's?
They never relevant team.
Exactly. Oh, for sure. They had a team. They just didn't do anything. And I think a lot of people who are older always had great respect for Louis. And, of course, Chris Bone. Yeah, again, you can hop in. I wouldn't do that. I love... Look, hopping, I guess we've got to define hop in. Like when Jay Wright was playing for national championships, I was rooting for Jay Wright.
Right. Okay.
Because I like what Villanova stands for as university in terms of academics. I think Jay Wright does it right. I think he's a great coach. And I think it's a good school. And I've just got great respect for Villanova. So I was happy that but I wasn't rude. Like, I wanted them to win, but does he mean he's getting a St. John shirt? I mean, is he going that far? And if he is, who am I to say no?
I don't know. Go buy the merch at the bookstore. You get some Big E stuff. Looks cool.
You could.
St. John's got some good merch, man.
They do, finally.
Good color scheme.
Yeah.
I like it. It's like, you know.
It pops.
It does pop.
It's very New York-y. Very like.
Bingo. You nailed it.
Gritty,
maybe that's why.
Subway, graffiti. Like, it's just, it's perfect for New York.
There's something to that merch. Ted is calling from Belrose. What's up, Ted?
Teddy.
Hey, guys. Pleasure chiming in. Brandon?
Yes.
Nick, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. What's up, Ted?
All right. I'm thinking an overnight at Mohegan Sun on the way there because it's only a half an hour from the casino.
Not a bad idea. I spent many nights in Mohegan. I played golf at the course. I'm forgetting the name of it up there now. I love Mohegan, but I hate losing, man.
I got to ask you this question. How convoluted did they set the brackets up in that, even though, and your boy Zoo told me, even though they're number two seed in the Western bracket, the game location is in Providence. I mean, how did they?
Well, you have to understand, it's a really good question, and a lot of people don't understand this because it's confusing. So, really, when you look at the West, it's more about where the next round will be. Obviously, St. John's is a Northeast team, obviously. So, it's while they're in the West region, and they're starting in the Northeast up in Providence. If they were to move on to the Sweet 16, it's in San Francisco. That represents the West region because you've got to have some sort of delineation between the geographical spots, and you don't have – it's not always going to be 16 Northeast teams, 16 Southern teams, 16 West – like, it's never that way, obviously. So just a mishmash, really.
Do you have any idea of how well you expect St. John fans to travel? Forget about Providence. I'm talking about beyond that. Is there, like, a feel from the school, how many students will be going, or just St. John fans in general?
Yeah, what I was told is that – and this is not, you know, unique just to St. John's, but each school gets, I believe, 400 tickets, which is fairly low.
Okay. What, 20,000? I mean, 18,000? Right?
Yeah, I don't think it's that big of a venue. I think the one up in Providence, again, I still call it the Dunkin' Donut Center. It's had a few different names.
Next round, but I
got you. Yeah, well, then it would be 20,000, sure. I think up there it's more like 14 or 15-ish, whatever. They pump some money into it. It looks really nice. I think that you'll get a ton of St. John's fans jumping into the secondary markets. I was checking, by the way, I saw a front court seat this morning, not even front row, mid court, about 10 rows back, $2,600.
Wow.
26!
This is for the first round matchup
Thursday
night.
This is for Providence.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So I do think that St. John's fans who have been starving, you know, those with a few bucks in their pocket, I think they're coming hard, but I won't really know until I get there. I do think there'll be a sea of red up in Providence, though. California could be different if they get there.
Game 7 of the Pull Your Card World Series when we come back.
Yeah, I got to get the mind right.
Yeah,
right.
One pregame thing here. Would you rather beat me in this World Series or have St. John's? Like, if you could only have one win this week.
Give it to Johnny's wins. 100%. Okay. No doubt about it.
I was just getting a feel.
No doubt about it. Number one, well, I mean, there's a lot of reasons. A few more bucks in daddy's pocket. No. It's just, I don't want the season.
I forgot about that. That's a good point. You have vested interest.
I don't want the season to end.
The more
I just want to keep going.
The more
you
get paid.
I know. But the way I lost to you last year, and if I lose today, it's going to be a complete, you know, a fold up of shop again. That's a long off season to contemplate some moves in the front office for my fantasy, for my baseball card team. I can't lose 3-1, up 3-1 again.
1988 will be the year when we come back.
I don't like the year. Telling you. I don't like the year, the way it skews. Can we go 84 and 85 and 83?
Yeah,
you can't.
Use those, my friend. BT and Sal, all the fan.
BT and Sal's Pull Your Card World Series. Game 7.
All right, here we go, BT. For the second straight year, we have gone to a Game 7. And for the second straight year, you have had a 3-1 lead. So we now go to the ultimate. The difference this year is that last year's Game 7 was 1987. This year it is 1988. I mix up the packs right here. These are freshies.
Okay. I'm going to mix it up. Go left-hand.
Okay, you've been picking right-hand this time. You go left-hand. Now, I am home for Game 7.
Yes, you are.
Which just means that in this particular case, because it didn't matter, it was only 1 year left to choose from, but it means that I get to choose who goes first.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just tally up the cards here, make sure we got no, you know, future scores or anything like that. Oh, I got a checklist already.
I've already seen some easy ones.
6, 7, 8,
1,
9,
2, 3, four.
14.
They're both stuck together. Four, yep. Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. 14 as well.
Okay, so here we go. 14, 14.
By the way, I've seen, quick glance, I think I've seen four Hall of Famers already. Mm-hmm. No joke, man.
You chose the pack.
I know.
That is the brace. Maybe we could amend the rules next year and see, especially if...
You ready to go?
Goes the way I hope it goes.
Going first?
I am going to read to you first.
So I'm in the batter's box first.
You are up first.
Okay.
Yes. You ready?
Let's go. I'm ready.
And
let's
remember,
go. Win or lose, I'm ready.
If it's a manager's card, I will say the manager's
name. You say the
name.
And I got to tell you what team. I know that is bizarre. By the way, look at this awesome record breaker card I got.
Yeah, Nolan Ryan.
Nolan Ryan, 87. Awesome. That is great.
All right, here we go. Let me put my glasses on just to make sure here.
Okay.
Danny Gladden.
88 we're doing. I feel like he was still on the Giants at this point.
Twins.
Oh, God almighty.
Well, it's weird because isn't it Dan Gladden? But look at it, says
Danny.
Does it say Danny? Yeah, it says Danny on that.
It's a bad start.
That is not a good start.
That's a bad start.
Bill Landrum.
White Sox.
I've never heard of him before.
Catcher?
Reds.
Nah.
I'm thinking Tito Landrum.
Yeah,
Bill,
I remember
Landrum.
Tito.
Okay. 0-2.
Yeah, I don't like this start.
Gerald Young.
Gerald Young on the Braves at this point? No.
No, Astros.
Oh, boy.
Not a manager.
Yeah.
Charlie Huff.
Oh, it's Charles with the Rangers.
One. There you go.
Oh, God.
You are out of it, my friend.
Yeah.
Game seven.
Yeah.
I think I stole the momentum with game five and six.
Yeah.
Terry Leach.
Mets.
Two. You're bouncing back. Tom O'Malley.
Tom O'Malley. Mets.
Yeah, I would have guessed that too. Rangers. I was just looking to see. He played with the Rangers first. Orioles, Rangers, and then I guess got traded to the Mets. All right.
I'm not in the mood for the background story, by the way.
It's
transactionalist, like I care.
Let me search for some easy ones, get you in a better mood.
Yeah, I'm good.
This is a tough pack. Kent Tekulve.
Kent Tekulve at this
88.
Point. He's got to be on the Phillies.
Yes. Tough one, though.
Yeah, it is, because, I mean, if you don't think it through, he was obvious. Now, I'll give you a little backdrop because I'm in a happier mood next hour. No, but he was on the team, obviously, 1979 Pirates, We Are right. Family, Will They Stargell, they won the World Series, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And then, but I knew he wasn't with them that long.
He's a
for that, like, 10 years or whatever.
He's a perfect guy that ties the two of us together, because I first think of him as a Philly, but I know he was a Pirate.
Yep.
And you first think of him as a Pirate, but you know he was a Philly.
Correct.
It's just a matter of what years did that take place. As a matter of fact, it happened.
Yeah, what year did it happen?
If 85 was his last year, it happened in 85. He was both the Pirates and the Phillies in 85.
All right.
Okay. Anyway, that's a hit. Jack Clark.
That's 3-7, by the way. All right, 3-7, I believe. Jack Clark. All right. There's only two teams I'm thinking of here. I know he's way past the Giants. It's either Cardinals or the Yankees, and I don't believe it's the Yankees. I believe the next year he went to the Yankees, and I might be wrong, but I'm going to say that it's the Cardinals still.
Very well done. It is the Cardinals. You nailed it.
4-3.
He was a longtime Giant, went to the Cardinals. That was his last year with the Cards before going to the Yankees. Mitch Webster.
Mitch Webster... Was he an outfielder?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm seeing Expos here.
That is correct.
5-9.
All of a sudden, back in play here. 5-9. It's game 7. There are no more games to go here. Are you showing up here? Jeff Montgomery. Tough one.
Well, there's only one team that's popping up, and that's the Rangers to me.
Ooh.
No.
Reds.
Ugh.
Yeah, that was a tough one. I'm not familiar with
that. I hear you. Pitcher or shortstop?
Pitcher.
Okay, yeah.
Carmen Castillo.
I don't know that I know that one. I don't know that one. I'm going to say Giants.
Indians.
I did not know that one.
Then Indians.
Yeah, 5-11.
Get this one, I would think. Darrell Evans.
Darrell Evans should probably still be on the Detroit Tigers at this point.
That is correct. Okay.
6-12.
Two tough ones here to close out.
Great.
Gary Thurman.
You couldn't say Gary Reedus?
No.
That's probably would have gone that one. Gary Thurman, Seattle.
No, you get this is a tough pack because you had like three or four guys that I think had a cup of coffee. And Pat Perry. Excuse me.
Pat Perry. Remember Gaylord Perry? Lou Perry. 6 for 13. Refrigerator Perry. Pat Perry. Indians.
No.
Okay.
Reds.
Okay.
So what'd you go? Six?
6 for 14.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
This
could
be a tough one here.
Now, based on what you've seen so far, you think I get more than six? You've analyzed.
I'm looking them now.
Yep.
I think you're going to get seven.
Ooh.
I think it's going to be close.
Okay, here we go. Yeah.
All right. Tim Hewlett. And if you were to get this one, then I would have to, I would have to up the ante probably to eight. Then I'm probably really screwed. Yeah.
Never heard of him. Dodgers.
White Sox.
Oh, you won't believe it. That,
were you
that was
thinking
the
about
other
the White
team.
Sox?
Let me see the card because... Yeah, I don't remember the card, but I swear it was Dodgers or White Sox
really?
For some reason. Yeah.
All right, 0 for 1.
That would have really set you off. Yeah.
Mike Felder.
Giants?
Brewers.
Okay. I should have known that one. I remember that.
So we both started 0 for 2. Yeah. I started 0 for 3. Let's see if you can get off the schneid. Henry Cotto.
Seattle Mariners.
Yankees.
In 88?
Ooh, baby.
That's a tough one.
All right. Mike Lacasse.
Is that Giants?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, there we go.
It's funny, the first one after you miss a couple,
starts
it's not said
yourself.
With great confidence,
yeah.
Right? We both asked in the form of a question. You asked more in the form of a question here than when you were playing Marash in the Tiki Jeopardy game.
Who is the Giants?
Jesus. Yeah. 1 for 4. Ugh. All okay. Right. Al Newman.
Twins.
Good call.
Okay.
That was a good call right there.
You know, one thing I'm learning, BT, is that you usually should just go with your first gut. I mean, you got to give some thought.
Yeah.
But usually it's that first.
Usually. Dave Clark.
Dave Clark.
Yeah. Let's see. Was he up and down on the Express? Yeah, bounce around a little bit.
Pirates.
Tough one. Indians. Very tough call. Yeah. Then Indians. 2 for 6. Okay. Shane Mack. I know you know the name.
Padres.
You got it.
Okay.
That's a swing one right there.
Again, I did the gut feel theory.
3 for 7. Jim Traber.
Oh, I'm going to get mad at myself for this one. I feel like this is a name that's been coming up here. Jim Traber. Yeah, I'm all screwed up with this one. Jim Traber. Cleveland.
Orioles.
I think I got that one wrong last week.
That came up. That came up. 3 for 8.
You better be searching.
Dude,
I would have gone.
Dude, I'm telling you right now.
Yeah. How many? 6 left?
You're going to win.
You think I run the table here? All right.
I think you have a chance to.
Okay.
You ready? All right. Alan Trammell.
Yeah, that's a layup. Tigers.
Okay. Mario Soto.
Reds.
Layup. 5 for 10.
You had 6, right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Jeff Reardon.
Not as easy as you would think here. Give me a sec. Whew, see, this is one of those that you have to think of. Jeff Reardon. My mind... man. Twins.
Got it.
Okay. My mind is going Twins, but I'm like, let me think this through.
Yep, got it. Yep.
So we're tied now.
We're tied. Yeah, I mean, now it's over. Roger Clemens. I mean, come on, man. Look at this. I just got to take it like a man here.
Roger Clemens in 88.
What's with the hesitation, buddy?
Just make sure.
Come on, man.
Toronto, Yankees.
Toronto.
Clemens was a Red Sox in 88.
Yes, he was. All right, you won. Finish up the pack here. Bruce Bochy.
Giants catcher?
Padres.
Okay.
7 for 13.
Yeah, I get that screwed up in my mind.
I can see that. I can see that. And then Lloyd Mosby.
Yeah, Blue Jays.
And you knew that one.
Okay.
All right. Nice job. nice job. That was a tough pack I had. I had a tough pack. It's going to happen, dude. It's all good. Good job. Congrats. Congratulations.
It
you
is,
won.
Maybe we should, because people have recommended this to me. You know, saying
I'm eating the gum.
Say, oh, loser eats the gum. Oh,
I said, try it.
Second straight year, the 3-1 lead. People have said to me, you guys should do the same pack, which does make sense.
It's like salt.
Gum is 40 years old. Oh, spit that out. That's disgusting.
I don't know why I did that.
You got to hock two of that thing.
I'm pissed. Oh, I got to do something.
I get it. I do think that, because it is a random draw.
Listen, right? It is what it is. Those are the rules. And
okay, but
you win or you lose.
But, like, there is no, if we did one pack, the same pack.
I know. It's a better representation, probably, because
less random.
I get it. I would be, at this point, I'd certainly sign up for the rule change. But pertaining to this World Series, you beat me fair and square.
Yeah, it good happens. Job. I know, but also, like, come on, a pack with Roger Clemens and Alan Trammell or two.
I mean, come on, Alan Trammell. And, I know. You know.
I know. Those are, like, I don't even like winning on those.
But even Jeff Reardon and Bochy, if you have to think, you know the still, neighborhood. Yeah. You got, like,
no,
six.
You had, like, three or four. All right. I mean, a win is a win. I'm not going to give it back.
No, nor should you.
I'm just saying, like, trying to evolve it to where I just don't know how we would realistically do it on the radio to have us do the same pack. You know what I'm saying? Try to make you feel better.
Let's send it down to the Victoria's Clubhouse, joined now by Sal Licata. Sal, back-to-back championship, Sal. How you feeling? And another stretcher, 7 games. Tough battle, but another win.
I feel like I'm starting to build a dynasty. I won the first World Series. Then I took out the New York Yankees manager, and now I've won my second World Series. This is a dynasty in the making. They may have to change up the rules to prevent me from winning next year.
Does it feel different that it wasn't a smooth sweep, that both times there was organizational turmoil coming back from big deficits?
You know, that is something, BT, you touched about. I'd like to now, the next step would be to actually, like, you know, win a nice, clean...
Make it easy for yourself.
4-5 gamer next year.
You know? So what do we do? 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90. Right. Okay.
So those are 7 if needed.
Honestly, of the 7, only 3 are really, like, 84, 85, 86 are wheelhouse.
For you.
For me.
Right.
And it's reflected in performance.
Right. For me, I can survive 85.
Yep.
I'm good 86. And then the rest I should have an advantage in. Yeah.
No, there were Bochy.
Like 84, I met a kid. And that's what I'm trying to say. Maybe we got to make it more fair. I don't know how to do that.
Clemens, Reardon, Mario Soto. Come on, man. Hey, you're a Mets fan. You watch them all the time in the same division.
Dove is saying started earlier, but like BT knows more about 90.
Trammell.
What would you say would be your weakest year?
90? Of the ones that we do?
Yeah.
I'd say probably 90.
Okay. So BT, though, knows way more about 90 and the names from 90 than I would about 83, let's say. Like, it's not an equal...
That's fair.
That's my point. Like, I'm not opposed to trying to level it out a little bit, but the further back you go, then I'm just like...
That's fair. Yeah, you have nowhere to go.
I don't know these guys.
Well, that's why we have to change the rules so we can do that.
Then maybe we move out of both of our wheelhouse and go to, like, 95 or 97 or, you know, somewhere like that. I don't know. But... I mean, they both won 7 each time.
Yeah, it's collapse. No way around it.
We didn't play. Hey, at least you got the Johnnies.
No, well, no. A collapse. 2 years in a row. Collapse.
You got some manager going to get fired here or what?
3-1. We've got to huddle down to Tampa after a couple of days. We're going to give ourselves a little respite here. Cool off. Come back. Clear heads. And I would imagine we will do some restructuring, to put it mildly.
I might have to... try to get ahead of things as well, just because it seems rosy right now. There were some flaws in this 7-game series. All right, BT and Sal, the fan, will come back, go down with the crown topic of the day. It is those Yankees. We'll talk Yanks, some Johnnies. We've got to get into the Knicks as well. I said we get to the Knicks this hour, I lied, but we will get to the Knicks before we say goodbye. BT and Sal on the fan.